The other school of teaching was the school of Hillel, and we would call them the liberals. They had a very wide scope of opinion, and really they taught that a man could divorce his wife for almost any fault at all. And if the husband took a dislike to his wife, if he didn't like her cooking, if he didn't like her looks, if he didn't like whatever, well, that was grounds for divorce. And almost on any cause he wished, if he wanted to be apart from his wife, there was a legal way of finding or doing that and putting his wife away by a bill of divorcement.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gollaher. We're bringing God's Word today from Matthew 5, verses 31-32 on divorce. The statistics in our country today are really disheartening when it comes to the breakdown in marriage. That bond or contract, which is the foundation of society, it is the very building block of any community, and yet so often marriage fails. It is a great tragedy. And the church must step up and answer some of these problems. And we have to come to the Bible and ask, what exactly does the Bible teach on the subject of divorce? So we come to the Sermon on the Mount, to Matthew 5, verses 31 and 32, the words of our Lord Jesus. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. These are very firm words of the Lord Jesus. And it was to counter a cultural issue amongst Judaism. There were various schools of thought, and they opened up almost any little avenue for a man to put away his wife. They would quote Moses, they would quote their own traditions, and they would make it somewhat really a joke when it came to putting away a person's wife for almost any cause. The Lord Jesus narrowed the field and brought it into proper proportion. And I trust that today you'll stay tuned with us as we go to our pulpit message on this, a sermon on the command of God concerning divorce and what are the responsibilities of those whom God has joined together. We know the Lord says, let no man put asunder. So there is a sacred bond, a sacred trust, and there's a great damage when divorce takes place. So take heed, join with us now for this message.
Our Father, we thank thee for these great hymns, and we pray that you will minister to our own hearts this evening through your word. And I just pray for help. I pray for help for preacher and people. Lord, we're just a small band here. We need encouragement from heaven. And we come to a subject tonight, Lord, that's delicate, where we need sympathy and empathy and understanding. And Lord, we need wisdom. And I pray that you will make us a church that will have that sympathetic spirit, and that we will be a guide and an example to the believers. We do pray for the wisdom of the Lord to reveal as we search the scriptures together. Breathe upon us now and bless us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen. Our preaching tonight is in Matthew 5, and we're going to be looking at our text this evening, verse 31 and 32 in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, verses 31 and 32. It hath been said. Now you'll notice that this is a repeated line in this discourse in the Sermon on the Mount. It hath been said. And of course, the Lord is quoting not just from the Old Testament, but from the various Jewish writings, the add-ons that became very much a burden to many people. It hath been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Now, I'm very glad that we're going through this Sermon on the Mount consecutively, passage and portion by portion, lest anyone think that maybe I'm dealing with an issue in the church or an issue in some family, or somewhere thinks, well, there's a problem when the pastor is choosing these two verses and going straight into the subject of divorce. And this is one of the benefits, actually, of preaching consecutively through the Bible, that we come to this not just because it is an issue, but because it is the next passage that we need to deal with as we study the whole Sermon on the Mount. The downside is, I have no desire to preach on divorce. The downside is, what pastor wants to deal with the problem as this? And of course, we are cognizant that this is a subject that is very near the issues that many people deal with and live with, and we need to be wise and careful, and we need to be understanding. I think that you'll notice here, as this develops and leads on from the previous verses, that the Lord deals with this subject of divorce in light of what he had just said about adultery. And he was dealing here with adultery as not just a matter of the physical misconduct, but it can be the wrong thoughts. It can be the wrong desires, the lust of the heart. And then he comes right into this adultery. Now, the Pharisees' view and the prevalent view in the days of the Lord, it simply reduced divorce to the easy answer. The easy answer to a particular problem, well, if it's not working out and if a man is not finding that his wife is a suitable partner, well, it simply says, let him give her a bill of divorcement. And they quote Moses on that. Now, the reason for this divorcement was debated in two particular schools of theology and of teaching in the Jewish traditions. There was the school of Shammai, and they had a very narrow position, and they would only permit divorce on very rigid and very narrow situations. The other school of teaching was the school of Hillel, and we would call them the liberals. They had a very wide scope of opinion, and really they taught that a man could divorce his wife for almost any fault at all. And if the husband took a dislike to his wife, if he didn't like her cooking, if he didn't like her looks, if he didn't like whatever, well, that was grounds for divorce. And almost on any cause he wished, if he wanted to be apart from his wife, there was a legal way of finding or doing that and putting his wife away by a bill of divorcement. Now, here in North America, we're not very far away from the very same situation, because a divorce can be had for almost any reason. It could be on the terms merely incompatibility, which may cover a whole gamut of issues and problems that may arise between a husband or wife. It may be on the grounds of negligence, and again, sometimes that is quoted in the courts of someone who is just not caring and showing due attention and so on. It may be money differences, and sometimes finances plays a very big part of the struggles and the divisions that come between a husband and a wife. And these days, it's very rare for a couple or for one party to sue for divorce and for the judge to turn it down and say, I'm not going to allow divorce on this basis. You better come back to me with something more than this, or just throw out the case. I'm certainly not aware where that happens in our present laws of the land. And of course, man's law today seems to be very much higher than God's law. And the Lord Jesus is really teaching here that when a man puts away his wife for any reason, for an unjust cause, well, he's no better than the man who's committing adultery and is guilty of lust. And usually, and very often, it is because that husband has his eye upon another wife or prospective wife, maybe even another man's wife, and because of his lust for her, well, he comes up with some grounds on which he seeks divorcement. Now, we have to come back right to God's law. And God's law is that the intention of marriage is that two shall be one, and that two shall be one flesh. And this marriage bond between man and wife, well, it is stronger than the relation between sons, daughters, and their parents. When a young couple get married and they become man and wife in God's sight, they are one, and it is till death them do part, and it's never the will of God that they should cease to be man and wife. Now, in the Old Testament, divorce, as we've learned here, was given as an exception. And that exception, it was never the rule. And we are told that it was due to hardness of heart. I want to take it to Matthew 19, verse 8. Matthew 19 has quite a bit of reference to the whole matter of divorce. And in chapter 19, verse 8, you'll notice it says that Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And of course, Moses, because of the hardness of their hearts. Now that sums up the Pharisee. The Pharisee was hard of heart, and there was no interest in becoming a servant and humility and serving God according to his will. And of course, it sums up the man who is more interested in the letter of the law than he is in the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law tells us that God's will is that husband and wife remain together all their days. Divorce, therefore, is contrary to the spiritual law of God. Not just the letter of the law, but to the very intention and the whole design, the whole program that God has instituted for marriage, which teaches us to serve God out of love to do his will. I want to be married. I want to have my wife because by remaining faithful in that union, I demonstrate my love to God. That is the spirituality of the law. Now, as I said, this is not my favorite subject. This is not something that I would choose of myself to come and deal with on a Sunday evening service. And so I want to lay out to you the plan that I have that might turn this into a profitable and, I trust, a spiritual exercise as we look at these verses. First of all, we need to understand the spirit by which Moses gave the exception of divorce. What was Moses thinking? What was his plan in that? Then also, having learned the spirit of the law, we should see that in divorce, mercy should prevail. It should be an exercise of mercy. And then lastly, prevention is better than cure. And that I will take great delight in preaching this evening. And so we need to see and understand the spirit by which Moses gave this exception of divorce. And that's the point. Divorce is not the rule. divorce was to be an exception, even from the very beginning. And in that, man was to establish a just cause. Now, in verse 32, where the Lord Jesus speaks here, I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication. And that, biblically, and with Moses, as well as the Lord, was the just cause. That was the proper ground on which a divorce may be sought. Now, the provision of divorce in the days of the Lord Jesus was being abused. It was being extended for the least little thing. In Moses' time, it was for the hardness of the heart, but in the Pharisees' time, really, it was the sin of the heart. It was the very lust of the flesh, and it was that ungodly passion, pride, and lust that ruled their hearts. And that was contrary to the whole spirit of the provision and the law of God. Now, it required a bill of divorcement. We need to grasp what that was about. A bill of divorcement is not something that Uncle Tom can come up with. You can't just have a family discussion and say, well, this marriage of ours is not working out, we just want to end it, and it becomes a family agreement. A bill of divorcement was really a legal matter, and it was formal. And usually it was for the wife's protection. It was a very serious and a very solemn step. And to seek a bill of divorcement, witnesses were required. And this, therefore, was a civil action requiring the authority of lawmakers who could carry out the disannulment of a marriage. It could no more be a family arrangement. It had to be the mutual consent, of course, of husband and wife, and they just couldn't walk away from each other. There was this legal aspect to it. And the reason was that unless there was the proper grounds and proper legal disannulment of that contract, that wife who may be pursued by another man would then be in danger of death under the law of the Old Testament. And so it required a legal bill of divorcement. A man also was not allowed to remarry his former wife. And you can read this sometime in Deuteronomy chapter 24. There were no Hollywood sudden marriages and divorces and remarriages and all the extra things that seem to happen in the Hollywood lifestyle. No, not at all. There were absolute regulations here that when a person ended their marriage to their previous partner, that they could not go back. Now, divorce was also given by permission. It was not a command. And you'll notice that I want to point it out here in verse 32, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And here it was a reference to that bill of divorcement that was given by Moses. Now, there were those schools of thought within Judaism who taught that if a marriage was difficult and not as perfect as it should be, then there was an obligation to divorce. But divorce is never an obligation. That cannot be so. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 12, and I think this is an important point here, that when a Christian is newly converted and becomes a child of God, but their wife or spouse is not converted, that they are to continue together in that union. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And so this divorce is not an obligation. It is a provision in certain cases where there is a just cause, but it is not something that a person must do, because fornication or adultery is really to become joined to another person. And this is the sin which breaks the marriage bond. It destroys the special God-given arrangement that two shall be one flesh, which is God's ordained plan from creation. And even then, divorce is a provision, not a command. Now, what is a terrible betrayal of marriage, trust, and love? There is to be a spirit of grace and mercy to the one at fault who shows a spirit of repentance. And praise God, that can happen. When there is a fault, when there is someone who has betrayed that marriage covenant and agreement, and they become exercised about their wrongdoing, and they say that they're sorry and repent and return, then it is Christian to forgive. And where possible, that reconciliation and restoration will be sought and brought about by all means. And the divorce is not something that has to happen. It's not something that must happen. It's a provision where there is no reconciliation, but where there is repentance and restoration, that marriage ought to continue and may continue with God's blessing and with God's favor. We have a great story on this in the book of Hosea. And you have that arrangement between Hosea and Gomer. And Hosea was told to go and take a wife of adulteries. And his wife became unfaithful to him. And she went out into the streets and she pursued various men. And what did Hosea do? Well, he ministered to her needs. She fell into poverty and he provided for her. And even when there was no thanks and no recognition of who was supplying her need, he continued to supply her need. And then when she was down in the slave market, being sold off in some horrible situation, what did Hosea do? He went and he bought his wife out of that horrible slave situation and brought her back and continued to be a husband unto her. Now in Hosea, it's all a great illustration of the gospel. It's a great illustration of God's grace and what God does for sinners in mercy, even though we turn our back to him and even though we sin against God, when we repent and when we return, the Lord will have mercy upon us. And so in marriages, there ought to be this display of grace, this willingness to put things right and to forgive where that is possible. And so every attempt should be made to reconcile between husband and wife, because they are one flesh. John Calvin stated that God, in prescribing a spiritual law, looked not at what men can do, but what they ought to do. And then in conjunction with that, thus the law is not a license to break down a marriage, but a hedge to build it up. And so that ought to be the attitude, that we may do all that we can to build up rather than pull down and tear it apart. And I think we'll get to that at the final part of this tonight, when we deal with prevention is better than cure. So having learned the spirit of the law, we should see that in divorce, mercy should prevail. Mercy should prevail. And this is where there has been a breakdown of marriage for whatever reason. No matter who is in the wrong or who has been wronged or the one that is hurting, mercy is the answer. And let's not under.
Thank you for joining with us on our program here today as we have looked at this very solemn subject of divorce. What a tragedy it is when a couple who, well, covenanted together in holy wedlock, You think of the engagement, the wedding day, the gathering of family, friends, the excitement, the joy that marriage brings, the love that is within hearts, and then the early marriage days. It is a tremendous, wonderful occasion. Then along the way, something happens to disrupt the harmony. Maybe there is unfaithfulness, maybe there is some temptation that comes along, and that unity of marriage is spoiled. It is then that the Christian message must come home. The spirit of forgiveness must rule in hearts where there is repentance, where there is sorrow, and a desire to get things back on the rails again. And of course, in every Christian pastor's work, when marital issues arise, there must be some major effort to try and bring that couple together again, to have them to work together in unity, to sort out their problems, however that may be done. And it really comes down to the gospel and what is in our hearts. Is there a spirit of forgiveness? Is there a readiness to recognize that we're all frail, weak, and even prone to temptation, and that we need grace? We need God's grace. And that first marriage is going to be the best one ever. And we need to seek God's will and God's blessing upon that, whatever we do. And so I trust that you will take to heart today some of these solemn lessons, and I'm just going to rehearse them a little bit. Divorce is a permission, not a command. It's something that is the last resort, and it's something that we would consider when every other avenue is sought out. Also, conversion does not change marital status. If you were married and your spouse were not Christians, and then at some point you become a believer in the Lord Jesus, no matter what difficulties and whatever the dynamic of that, your conversion does not change your marital status. That marriage still stands. It's absolute. And to maintain marriage, well, we need a spirit of forgiveness that applies in the little things and the big things. And I trust that God will give that grace and that help to you and to all of us people as we seek to live for the Lord and for His glory. Thank you for joining with us. Stand by now for this closing announcement. You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca, CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We are on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-897-2040. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.